88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, locksmiths, I'm Angel, host of the ModCo podcast and fellow locksmith. The ModCo podcast is a weekly podcast that talks about organization and entrepreneurship. We cover topics such as organizing your finances, avoiding burnout, mental health, and sharing the realness of being an entrepreneur. New episodes available on Wednesdays.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? How has your week been?
I'm good. It's good to see you too, John. My week's been good. I'm actually recording live from my parents' house.
I know we had to turn off cameras real quick so someone's mom didn't have a wardrobe malfunction. So.
Not trying to, can't be walking around like that.
Yeah, not trying to get an eyeful.
Shout out, Mom.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing well. It's always fun to see your parents' house. I know their office doesn't have any doors, and like anything can happen. So it's cool to be back with you, especially after missing our short on time last week. I did want to apologize to the listeners. Millie had come home with some kind of funk, and then. It kind of has trickled into me and I'm still getting over just a little bit there, but just, you know, wanted to apologize. Happy to be back. Happy to cover it. I don't know. It's just anytime we miss one, I always feel weird. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it just feels like an off week. So I'm glad to be back in the saddle and getting a full one out there.
I'm glad y'all are feeling better. You know, I've told my mom one day, I was like, you know, I think that we get sick a lot. And I realize it based off of how many episodes and podcasts we do. But, you know, other podcasts take breaks, you know, and I find that we are unique in the sense that we rarely miss unless life happens. And, you know, life does happen sometimes. And I tell you all the time, we have to take care of ourselves first.
Yeah, we don't do seasons like a lot of other true crime podcasts do. We try to be pretty consistent. So, you know, again, thank you. And if you reached out, left a nice message, really do appreciate it. You might even be able to hear, I've had some kind of like crazy sinus thing going on. I'm also in the midst of trying to quit smoking cigarettes. So
proud of you.
I know. I appreciate it. I haven't had a cigarette. We're recording this on a Sunday. I have not smoked one since Friday and I only had one on Friday. I've been smoking for over 20 years. This is the longest I've ever gone.
Proud of you.
So I'm hoping to, hopefully this time next week when we record again, I'm like, I haven't had one at all. Yeah. So it's cool though. I haven't bought any, and like, you know, I haven't gone and bought like a pack of cigarettes in like 2.5 weeks, which is kind of crazy. So,
you're going to be rich too.
Yeah. So if, the extra money is definitely nice, but if you're listening, just, you know, give me a little route, you know what I mean? Hit me up with a little cheer or something, but I'm hoping I can keep the trend going. So
I think you can do it. I know you can do it. You're John Connor.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping. I felt a lot better, which is good. So I'm not, you know, coughing up a lung or waking up feeling gross, like, to start the day. So it's been nice being able to breathe a little bit better, other than this sinus funk that's been going on. So I'm hoping once this is cleared out, I'm like, oh, I'm a brand new person. So,
right.
But, well, this week is your week. You had sent me over, hey, you know, asking, have we done this case? And we actually hadn't covered it, but it is one that I kind of followed a little bit, and I hadn't really had the opportunity to dive deep into it. So I was really excited that you were bringing it. I'm wondering if a lot of the listeners, you know, just through social media and stuff like that, may be in a similar boat as myself. But what do you say? Should we just jump into it, start breaking it down?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's do it.
On the night of May 8th, 2021, 13-year-old Tristan Bailey slipped out of her St. Johns County, Florida home. Unaware that the decisions of that evening would lead to a tragedy no one could have predicted. Tristan Bailey was born on January 18, 2008 in Singapore. Her parents, Forrest and Stacy Bailey, moved Tristan and her four other siblings to Florida after 4 years of living abroad. She was a seventh grade cheerleader and student at Patriot Oaks Academy. Her friends and family say Tristan was the kind of person who radiated kindness. She was always willing to befriend those who felt like outsiders. On Mother's Day Eve, that trusting nature would tragically make her a target. Earlier that day, 14-year-old Aiden Fucci, a classmate of Tristan's, had asked her for her phone number. That night, he convinced her to meet him at the home of their friend Davis Apsher. Tristan snuck out and left her home after midnight, but sadly she would never return. On Mother's Day morning, Tristan's siblings went to wake her, only to find her bed empty. They immediately told their parents. And panicked, they notified the police to report their 13-year-old daughter missing. Just hours later, police would notify the Baileys that they found Tristan. Sadly, her lifeless body was found in a wooded area not far from Absher's home. Detectives searched the woods looking for any evidence. The scene was horrific. Tristan had been brutally attacked. She had stab wounds to her head, neck, arms, and back. A fragment of a knife was lodged in her scalp. The word karma was written on the inside of her left ankle, and a smiley face was drawn on the right ankle. Investigators knew they needed to jump into action quickly. Later that afternoon, deputies Robert Maloney and Liam Stack interviewed Absher about the events leading up to Tristan Bailey's disappearance. He confirmed that both Fauci and Bailey had been at his house. According to the teenager, Tristan and Fucci had left his home around 1:10 in the morning. When they interviewed Fucci, he confirmed Absher's story, telling police that they had left around 1 a.m. Fucci initially told investigators that he walked with Tristan along North Durban Parkway until she turned on Cloisterbane Drive to head home. Fucci claimed he had wandered around for a while before eventually returning home around 3:30 in the morning. However, investigators pointed out that the walk between Absher's home and Fucci's was only about 30 minutes. As the investigation continued, his story began to shift. Fucci started to tell a different chain of events. Now he claimed after leaving Absher's house, an altercation occurred, claiming that Tristan had tried to touch him inappropriately. He said he had pushed her away, causing her to fall and hit her head. Investigators found this version of events increasingly difficult to believe. Luckily, detectives were able to obtain surveillance footage tracing Tristan's last moments. Through multiple home security cameras, they were able to see Tristan walking through her neighborhood and meeting up with Aiden Fucci, eventually arriving at their friend Absher's home. At 1:20 a.m., Fucci and Bailey were again seen together walking from Absher's home. Then, at around 1:45, the pair were seen entering the wooded area. At this time, there was no solid evidence that Fucci committed the crime. But as the investigation continued, the timeline pointed towards Fucci as the prime suspect. More footage would show that around 2:45 a.m., Fucci was seen returning alone, carrying his white Nike shoes in his hands. he appeared unfazed and seemed to be walking quickly. Detectives later found a buck knife missing the tip in a pond near where Tristan's body was discovered. In the meantime, the medical examiner would confirm that Tristan suffered from 114 stab wounds. More than half were determined to be defensive wounds. This proved that the teenager had fought hard for her life. Tristan's cause of death was determined to be sharp force trauma by stabbing. Detectives obtained a search warrant and began looking for clues. Shockingly, they found a pair of blood-soaked Nike shoes. These were similar to the shoes Fuji could be seen holding in the footage. They also found a blood-stained t-shirt and a knife sheath. In the bathroom, detectives took note of traces of dirt and blood. Aiden Fuji was arrested in the early morning hours of May 10th, and he would be charged with the murder of Tristan Bailey. Fuji was taken to Duval County Jail, where he was held without bond. As time passed, more details would be shared, revealing a very dark and disturbing side of Aiden Fuji. Abshur would tell detectives that in the weeks before the murder, Fuji shared his disturbing fantasies. Abshur said that Fuji had described his desires to drag someone into the woods and kill them. Detectives also spoke to Aiden's former girlfriend, Zofie Ballman. In their interview, she claimed that he would often pull out a knife and pretend to stab her. Fuji was known for drawing graphic images of mutilated bodies, and some said he claimed to hear voices urging him to kill. But despite the evidence, it would take a few years before the trial would begin. But on February 6, 2023, before a jury selection, Aiden Fuji would plead guilty to first-degree murder of his classmate Tristan Bailey. Judge Lee Smith was the head of this case, claiming it was one of the most difficult and shocking cases he ever presided, calling the crime senseless. It was not committed out of passion or anger, but out of a fascination with the desire to kill. Fuji wrote a letter expressing his regret for all the pain he caused to Tristan's friends and family, stating, "I'm sorry for all the pain I caused to the Bailey family. I'm sorry that you didn't get to know her that long." Fuji was ultimately charged as an adult and sentenced to life in prison on March 24, 2023, at the age of 16. He's eligible for parole after serving 25 years. Now, during the investigation, detectives would reveal that Aiden's mother, Crystal Smith, helped him hide evidence. Crystal had scrubbed something off her son's jeans before the details of the crime became known. Now, after knowing it was blood, she was sentenced to 30 days in jail for her role in the cover-up. During the hearing, Tristan's siblings placed 114 heart-shaped stones in a jar to symbolize every stab wound that she endured. Her parents now carry on her legacy through the Tristan Bailey Foundation, which focuses on character development and victim advocacy, along with self-defense and self-confidence and education of the dangers of social media. More information can be found at TristanBailey.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So that's this week's case, John. What are you thinking? Where's your head at?
This one is hard for me. And also, thank you for stealing my mind.
You're welcome.
I see what you did there. As we were going through, this one was really hard for me to, I don't know. This was one I had mentioned at the top of the show, right? That I had kind of seen bits and pieces of. I've also seen his like plea to guilty online. But because of the age of Tristan, it's just, it's really hard. I mean, you know, because of the age of Aiden Fuji, it's really hard. But being a dad, 13 is just so young to have your life cut short. And especially, you know, when your child is just someone who is so accepting and trying to make people feel included and, you know, not left out. And that's definitely what it feels like, right? Is that Tristan was just, hey, you know, he wants to be friends. He asked for my number. You know, we apparently live near each other. like, you know, he probably needs a friend. I want to be, you know, I want to be that person for him. And you just have no idea what is going on in this young man's head. You know, there's obviously some severe mental illness if you are fantasizing about what it's going to be like to kill someone, and you not only formulated an entire plan, but then carry it through. You know, you're making these sick fantasies become a reality. And then, you know, the aspect of the mom, I was just so angry at, you know, your son comes home, he's got blood on his clothes, and instead of being like, hey, what the hell happened? You're just like, oh, let me just clean it up. And, you know, just, and again, that aspect there leads me to believe like there had to be other signs. Again, I'm speculating, but to know that this mom had her child come home, cleaned evidence instead of asking questions, it just makes me wonder what other kind of signs were there that her son was going through something, or something wasn't right that she was just ignoring or sweeping under the rug, or, you know, so, you know, now she's lost her son to prison forever. The Baileys have lost their daughter to just a horrifically violent crime. And, you know, it's two families that are completely destroyed, and it's, I don't know, it's heartbreaking. And I am really glad that, you know, we talk about this a lot, but so many of these cases are just heartbreaking, and, you know, they leave you feeling sometimes like there's no hope. So to see her parents start this foundation in her name and work to help other kids who may be going through something similar, or, you know, really fight to make sure that, you know, they can prevent what happened to their daughter happening to somebody else. Again, I don't know if I would have that kind of emotional fortitude to be like, I'm not just going to wallow in this forever and like be heartbroken forever that I lost my child and, you know, slip into some really dark place, but I'm going to make sure that her memory lives on a way that helps other people, I think is really courageous and really exceptional.
Well, you said everything that I was just about thinking, but if I was going to add to that, all jokes aside, I would say, you know, I go back to what you said about what signs did the mom ignore. You know, you can see some of the drawings he drew and some of the research that I found. And so it's not like this stuff had to, it could have been just hidden in plain sight. You know, like I feel like there had been things that she ignored and that she maybe just didn't think, oh, he's just a teenager, he'll outgrow it, it's just a phase kind of thing, or behaviors. But I mean, to sit down and talk to your friend and be like, I want to know what it's like to murder somebody and like drag their body and like torture them, basically, like that's not normal.
No, I agree. And it really reminded me a lot of the Oxford, Michigan school shooting. Mm-hmm. You know, that was one that I think really rattled me hard just because, you know, my entire family lives in Michigan. It's, you know, from there to always, as much as I love being here in Nashville, and as much as I love, you know, certain parts of living in Tennessee, like Michigan will always be home. And right. So, you know, that school shooting, it was just extra hard. Because, you know, every single one of them that you see on the news and everything like that, it breaks your heart. If you're a normal, decent human being, like something like that happens and you're like, oh, this is absolutely terrible. Right. And I don't bring this up to get into like the political arguments or anything like that. But the reason that I draw the comparison is, you know, Ethan Crumbly, who was the school shooter in that scenario, you know, there was plenty of warning signs. You know, he was looking up ammunition in class. And, you know, his parents were like, you know, you got to do better at hiding it. And, you know, there's signs that your child is going through some kind of mental illness. Instead of getting him help, they buy him a weapon. You know what I mean? And so it's like
time to hide better, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know, again, this might just me, but I am totally in favor of if your child commits some kind of crime like this and you have ignored the warning signs, the parents should definitely do jail time. The you know, I don't know if the sentence should be as harsh, but it should definitely be like, hey, you dropped the ball. And because of that, you know, someone has lost their life or something tragic has happened, and you play a big part of the responsibility in that. So like, guess what? Your kid's going to jail, but you're going to jail too. and maybe doing something like that would stop this kind of thing from happening, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I also think that, you know, she only got 30 days of jail time. And I almost wonder if, like, he came home, had blood on his jeans. But, like, inquiring mother would be like, hey, like, you have blood on your pants. Are you okay? Like, what happened to you? And he obviously wouldn't have any major cuts, I wouldn't think. I mean, I don't know for certain, but probably not enough for the amount of blood that was probably on those pants for him to be like, oh, I just cut my leg. This is all that it was. So I can't see in any way that that was an option. But I mean, 30 days is a long time in jail. That's a month.
Yeah. I don't know. I also want to know, like, what kind of home life you have where you're a 13-year-old who can be out at 3:30 in the morning. Yeah. I mean, forget 1 in the morning. The kid didn't come home until 3:30. You know what I mean? Like, I was a latchkey kid, and I think I was like the last generation of latchkey kids where, like, my mom worked and me and my siblings, there was 4 of us, we would come home and we were home by ourselves until my mom got off work. But there was no way in hell that I would be out until 3:30 in the morning at 13. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
I'd be too scared to be out. I was kind of like afraid of the dark. I mean, I'm afraid of the shower.
Yeah. Well, you know, the special circumstances with you. But you know what I'm saying? Like, my mom would have gotten the car and she would have driven around the neighborhood until she found me. And then I was also, you know, we don't spank Millie, right? But I would have, my mom
got a spanking.
Oh, my mom broke a ping pong paddle over my butt one time. Like, you know, she pulled that thing back and, you know, I was probably doing something that I deserved
it.
Yeah. You know, but there is absolutely no way that I would have had free reign like that, you know? And it's, I have noticed that as much as we live in a different time where we're more diligent about, you know, predators and, you know, serial killers and making sure that our kids are safe and they're not out unattended, I do believe there's an aspect when something like this happens where it's like, there are some situations where kids have free reign and almost like run the family and, like, you know, they don't get punished and there's like rules don't apply to them. And I don't know if that's like specifically what was happening here, but like, if I came home with blood on my jeans at 3:30 in the morning, it wouldn't just be like, well, go to bed, honey. I'll wash them. Like, have a good night.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I don't know. It's infuriating. It's like you as a parent, you have to take responsibility. You have to know what's going on. And it is super obvious, you know, just from going through this, you know, that in that case, this is not what was happening, you know? And then you have Tristan, you know, she's sneaking out. That's normal kid stuff, right? Like, I have snuck out and gone to like friends' house and stuff like that, but I was always smart enough to be like, I'm not coming home at 3:30. You know, she left. She was like, okay, it's 1 in the morning. I got to get home before I get, you know, in real trouble. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. My mom was too up in my business. You know what I mean? To like, same. And that's how it should be. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I mean,
she knew a lot. She knew a lot. I told on myself a lot. It's interesting. Yeah.
Would I ever tell you the story? So when I was, you know, an older teenager, I've talked about it before, but I had certain habits that, like, you know, maybe you could roll into a paper, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or put into a bowl or something like that. So, my mom walked up to me one day. I was in the kitchen. She's like, so, hey, I found your stash in the basement. And I immediately told her myself, I'm like, I'm sorry. I know you don't like it. I had graduated high school by this point, but I was like, it's, you know, just a little bit. I don't have a bunch of weed down there. And her face just went blank. And then she got this like weird smile. And she was like, I was talking about the Diet Pepsi you had in your mini fridge. Whatever is in your room, get it out of the house. Like, immediately
Yeah. I told on myself all the time. And I did not find out. We've talked about this. I did not find out that I was telling on myself till I was about 21, 22 years old. Maybe even older. And it was just like, Mom, you remember that time? And she'd be like, yeah, you told on yourself.
Yeah.
I didn't have any idea.
Yeah.
Great.
No. I mean, I was like, And again, I think this is why this kind of like blows me away a little bit, but all through high school, like all my friends would go to parties, they would drink, they were smoking weed. And I remember being at a very young age, my mom was like, just make it through high school. And then, you know, I don't care what you do. And so that's exactly what I did. I graduated and I was like, game on. You know what I mean? You know, like, and so, but she was always there. You know what I mean? She got like, you know, she knew what I was doing. She had four kids and she worked a full-time job, but she always was like, I know what's happening in my house, you know, and that's how it should be. And I don't know if today it's just, you know, with iPads and all the stuff where people are afraid of, you know, traumatizing their children or things like that. But it definitely feels like a lot of the times the kids run the house. And, you know, I know from my mom, that was never the case. She used to say,
that was not the case for us. We did not run this household whatsoever.
Did she ever say that to you? She said, I brought you into this world and you may be bigger than me. If I have a chair and a baseball bat, I'll still take you out. She was, you know, my mom
wasn't quite that bad, but it was known that she was the boss and we were to abide by the rules as long as we lived under them. And I lived under them for a really long time because I lived at home for college. So there's that little fun fact.
Yeah. Well, you know, my mom is all of like 5'3", 5'4".
Hey, we 5'3ers, we're tough.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not throwing shade, but when you've got, you know, two teenage boys fist fighting and you get in the middle and take one in the face, you have to be able to be like, I will get on a chair and hit you with a baseball bat if you don't knock it off. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, should we get into the deadbolt test? Because I definitely know where something like this falls for me 110%.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
It's a 10, dude. I like the entire time we're going through the story, I'm thinking about Millie. You know, we just went to one of her friends from school. Their parents invited us over for dinner so the girls could play. So we went there today and, you know, I'm just watching her play with this little girl. And I'm like, they're going to be, if she stays in the school she's in now, they're there from kindergarten through eighth grade. So I'm like, I'm watching you potentially develop a friendship that you are going to have for years. They're two little girls in first grade, or I'm sorry, in kindergarten, who are talking about going to college together.
No, that's cute.
They're like, we're going to be in school and we'll go to the same high school and then we'll go to college together. And I'm like, you don't even know what college is, dude. But, you know,
think first grade.
Yeah. And just seeing how Millie is very similar, right? Where she like, she meets somebody, she wants to be their friend. And so the entire time you were going through this, I'm like, I would like to think that would be my kid, where if it seems like you're the outcast or you don't have a friend or something like that, she wouldn't make you feel less than. And then the idea that, you know, someone could take advantage of that is absolutely heartbreaking. And then again, just being angry at Fuji's mom. So, I mean, for me, it's a 10 across the board. What about you?
I think I'm putting it right up there with you as a 10. You know, they're so young. Fuji truly must have had some mental illness. I mean, it's just scary. You know, your classmate gets your phone number. You know, you go meet at a friend's house, that friend thinks you're going home, and then the next thing you know, you're being drug out into the woods. And to know that more than half of her stab wounds were defensive wounds is like, she tried hard and she fought hard for her life. And I'm proud of Tristan.
Yeah.
And it's just devastating that two young lives were just taken and lost, you know, one sadly not here on this earth, and then the other just a wasted life in prison.
And can we talk a minute about being 14 years old and having the rage to stab somebody so hard that the tip of the knife breaks off?
Breaks off, yeah.
Like, this is a 14-year-old child. And like I say, you don't have that kind of rage. You don't have those kind of emotional issues without somebody being like, there's something going on with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it just feels like it is a straight up failure to catch that in time. And it led to just a terrible, gruesome murder for no reason, you know, and it's heartbreaking.
And it has that overkill aspect to it as well, you know, where he probably felt that he wanted to feel this feeling for so long that he just couldn't stop, you know, and what made him stop? That's the bigger question. What made him finally stop?
Yeah. You know, and then to like write things on the, I don't know. Like I said, there's just a lot of disturbing aspects and things that it just really does feel like there could have been some kind of intervention. There could have been something that stopped this from happening. And if that would have been done correctly, not only would Tristan still be here, but maybe Fucci grows up to, you know, live a normally adjusted, you know, gets the help that he needs and can live like a normal life. But that wasn't done. And then, you know, this is what we see happens. Like I said, it's terrible, man. It really bums me out. So thanks for picking this one.
You're welcome.
Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's episode. Olivia and I are both coming in at 10s. But as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Tristan Bailey fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter, Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to spend some time with you, get to know you. We say it all the time, but it's the best place on the internet. So please come join up. We'd love to have you. If you would like to join, there is a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. And Olivia, we say this all the time, but of course, you know, this case was very heavy. Both came in at a 10 for this one. And, you know, we like a palate cleanser. Had a quick question for you. What is your favorite thing?
A voicemail.
Well, guess what? We got a voicemail. Should we go ahead and listen to it?
Yes, my favorite.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, John and Olivia, it's Angel. I just finished listening to the latest episode on November the 6th. I can't remember the title of it because, yeah, that's just how my brain works sometimes. But you all said you need a voicemail, so here I am leaving a voicemail. Thank you all for all that you do. John, I am glad that you are doing well and feeling better after your trip to the ER. You should have told your mother, though, because you should always let your mom know. Olivia, I hope that you're doing well and that all the animals are doing well and you are sleeping with the windows closed. As always, just appreciate you guys and all that you all do. And we are keeping our fingers crossed that Millie is going to be the perfect teenager and hang out with the theater and the band people and come home and read books or something like that. So I hope you guys have a great weekend or a great week, depending on when you listen to this. So I will talk to you all soon. Bye.
That was so awesome.
Yes, Angel is awesome, and you may notice her voice from an ad that we run at the beginning of our show from time to time. She is another wonderful content creator, podcast host, and please make sure that you are listening and supporting her show as podcasters and independent content creators. Olivia and I can both let you know that the support really does mean a lot. So, Angel, thank you. Yeah. Yes, I really want her to hang out with the theater kids. Not the band. I've seen American Pie. No band kids. We're drawing the line.
John was a band kid.
No, I played in a rock band.
You played in a rock band.
I did not go to band camp. There is a big difference. So, but yeah.
Ella's going to grow up to be the sweetest little human, so it's fine.
I hope so. Today she was like, I don't know. I just feel like a teenager right now because she was like feeling sassy. Sass. I was like, oh, geez. So, but thank you for listening and supporting what we do and leaving that voicemail. And I promise the next time there's any issue, I will call my mom. And Olivia, please tell me that you were sleeping with the windows closed.
I was just about to say that it's time to start sleeping with the windows open because the weather's cooling off. I mean, it's still like 80 degrees in New Orleans, but we're supposed to be getting a cold front this week.
Yeah. Yeah. For someone who is super scared of the shower, you're like, come in this open entryway.
No, they can't get me.
It's on the second floor. No serial killer's ever owned a ladder. So.
Not on the front of the house. That's got to be really brave. I'm going to quit giving details, but you'd have to be really brave.
Not on the front of my house. The second window to the right. So.
It's the third one over the roof.
Yeah. Well, again, Angel, thank you so much. I know I am taking your advice, but I can't say the same for somebody else. So.
But, I feel like 2 days out of the year to sleep with the windows open.
I know. I know. Well,
I'm going to take my chances.
The great thing is, right, Olivia, again, I know you love the voicemails. I know you love hearing from our listeners and the people who rock with us all the time. So we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can do so. Give us a call, 615-920-9393. Again, that's 615-920-9393. Let us know what you think of the show, your thoughts on the case. Did we miss something, something we could be doing better? We would love to hear from you. And if you're outside the United States, you can leave us a voicemail at checkthelockspod.com. Just click the little microphone button, leave us some feedback, let us know what you got going on. Again, we'd love to hear from you. And Olivia, we also talk about all the time, but reviews help us as well. We love reading those on the show. If somebody wants to leave us a 5-star review, have it run on the show, what's the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all 5 stars and click them, light them up, let us know what you think.
That's right. Olivia always says it best, so I don't have to. That is Apple Podcasts. Click those stars. Let us know what you think. If you need a cheat code, again, there is a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. And if you dig what we do, you want to financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. You can get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those dang ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you want to help us out, throw us a couple bones. That is patreon.com/checkthelocks. You can get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that's what you're doing, you're telling people, hey, listen to this podcast. Let me know what you think. Just know that that means the world to us. Again, it's going to get us in front of new listeners, help us to grow our audience. And that's really all we're trying to do. So if you are a part of that and you are getting the word out there about the show, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.